So today we're going to be talking about cybersecurity and sort of how it can pertain to what we're calling average people. So my first question is, how aware of cybersecurity issues do you think that most people are in this increasingly technological society?
Well, I think people are aware from what they read on the media and what they hear. I would say the vast majority of people are underestimating the risk to themselves. People have a tendency to think that they have nothing to hide or nothing of value. So they do dismiss what they read. There's so much happening that it almost becomes like a background noise for them.
So I was wondering if you would be interested in talking about the concept of social engineering and how a lot of hacking is actually psychological as opposed to technological.
Social engineering, such as clickbait or profiling you through your social media profile, hackers basically use very sophisticated machines and computers. If you are not a person of interest and a hacker wants to just blanketly hack millions of people, they would target a database, they would target social media platforms, and essentially build a profile on you. And know exactly what your activities are. So they know that from, let's say, 8 to 10, you go to a gym at a particular place, and then you bank at a particular place. So they basically build profiles on you. They're very sophisticated. In terms of trying to trap you into a hacking, it would be sending you a spam email, spoofing, and having you to click on a link or even an attachment. You may get a fake invoice from a service. And this happens a lot in businesses where they don't know if they use that service or not. Big businesses get an invoice and they say, here's your invoice. And you click on the attachment, and essentially now there's a virus installed in your system without your knowledge. And after that, they can go into your database, all your emails, and know exactly where your bank, where your financial info is.
And so they didn't have to do any super high-tech hacking necessarily. They just basically tricked you into giving them the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, 84% of the world uses email, and 93% of the world uses messaging tools, messaging application. So all we need to do is really trap you into clicking something. And after that, that's it. And it happens a lot. It's very common. It happens a lot more in businesses. Of course, consumers are used to clicking on everything they get from a message to an email, and it could even look legit. No, it doesn't take a spy agency to get into your computers and your phone at all.
In that context, then, what are some of the most effective ways for people to protect themselves from cybercriminals, either trying to socially engineer them or hack them directly via other methods?
Well, the first thing you should do is, if you use a free service, and I spoke to a investment banker yesterday that just got hacked on his WhatsApp, and he didn't know how. But basically, once you install applications on your phone, your device ID is revealed. So I would say be very selective on what you install, what kind of applications you use. That would be a good start. Reduce your social media footprint. And if you are using an email or anything else, you should try to use a paid service because those are mostly encrypted. So that will reduce dramatically the attacks and essentially penetration to your device. Now, that doesn't guarantee it. But if you do get an email from someone, double check and see, do you know that person? Check on the email address itself, because when you get an email, let's say from, Tim Jones, and Tim Jones is a friend of yours, how do they know that you know Tim Jones? Because they already know. They have all your addresses, all your contacts, because we all use social media and all our contacts are in the social media. So you will be prone to open the email from Tim Jones. But essentially, it may look like Tim Jones. And then in the in the details. Some emails, our email lets you look at all the paths and the technical. You can see that it's not even Jim Jones. It's at some kind of odd website domain name. So be very careful on what you open, what you click at. That would be the best advice I can give.
So it seems like all of the social media expansion that we've seen in the last 10 years has really just been an amazing tool for these hackers, because now they can really look into your life in order to socially engineer you or figure out who they should send the email as in order to get your attention, right?
It is an amazing tool, and we keep continuing using those tools because, again, they're free and we're used to it. That's why it is important to start a trend now to reverse a little bit that social media trend and reduce the footprint. Remember, every time you post something or you have a photo on Instagram, Facebook, or anywhere, that machine knows what you're doing. That machine knows who is friends with you. When you are tagged on social media by somebody else, this is all data that a machine can compile. So now they know who you're friends with, who's your family member. And of course, once those people are hacked, they have their contact, and they can fool you into opening an email that supposedly is from them. It's a very big vicious circle. It is a huge problem. It's a problem that is causing the global economy in terms of physical, real monetary damage, close to $6 trillion a year. So we need to really think twice now. We need to change our attitude towards this blind transparency to everything we do. I remember when there was no internet, we were hard to be found. When you didn't have cell phones, you didn't have all those issues. Of course, we live in a technology world, and we need email and we need cell phone, but it doesn't mean that we have to be an open book.
Just using Facebook as an example, would it be worthwhile to go and look in your privacy settings on Facebook, or does that even matter in terms of what these people can compile?
I mean, I don't use Facebook anymore for the past few years, but I may be one of the few exceptions. I would say definitely do as much private as you can. Thank God the Europeans are a little bit on that, and they have enacted laws to force Facebook to be more private. I think in the U.S. now there's also laws, and government regulation are catching up 10 years later eventually, but they are catching up for privacy. Of course, the best you can do is put all your settings to privacy mode. Don't put your location automatically, but it's very hard to change people's habits. I mean, if you have to be that private, why are you Facebook in the first place? Use it in a limited way. I would encourage people to meet physically if they can and just have regular conversation, because this whole social media essentially is a huge data mining for malicious hackers that steal your information all the time. The key is to reduce the activity. There is not much else we can do.
So I guess for the average person or people who are not sort of a person of interest for a hacker, what is the likelihood that they might get hacked so that they know the importance of changing their habits, like you say?
Well, for the average user that uses the social media, there's definitely a very strong chance that they will be hacked. Now, being hacked is one thing, with or without your knowledge. I would encourage people, for example, to use a password manager. At the very least, you change the passwords to all your online platforms, whether it's banking or a gym membership or a food delivery company. DoorDash that just got hacked, and they sent an email to a few million people saying that maybe you should change your password because we just got hacked. I'm simplifying it, but DoorDash is an example. I think about a week ago, millions of people got compromised because somebody went into DoorDash. So it's not necessarily you and I going on Facebook and a machine wasting their time on us. They go directly to the infrastructure. Now it's a whole different ballgame. They go to the companies that have millions of users, and the free service have millions of users, of course, and they hack that database itself. So, for example, one of the things that we do when we have our digital safe, which is a version of a document management style collaboration and file share, we segregate each user's data independently from another. Most companies put every user into one big database, so when they are hacked, that's why you hear millions of people have been hacked. And most of the companies use the 3-4 big infrastructure out there. So use a password manager, change your passwords frequently, obviously use a password generator so you don't put the same password for everything. You'll be very surprised that every year the most popular password is password in the world. That is a password.
Yeah.
So the second one was 123456789. So we still have a lot to learn. We have our habits to change.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate all your time and knowledge.
With pleasure. It was great talking with you.